Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I would like you to greet us.
And Michael would too.
I'd feel so important.
You like that?
A radio god meeting me outside the gate.
You want to inconvenience him?
What?
What's wrong with you? You're going to be like this all weekend.
He is.
I'm done going from tiny radio station to tiny radio station. Let's check this out. Walked in and said, what can I do? Took the exam. He looks at me and goes, you got a technical background? I go, no. You're great. Want to be a nuclear mechanic? I go, sure. Hook, line, and sinker. They got me in.
What's a fullback?
What you wear to a family pool if it
covers
you're a
your
classy
ass.
Lady.
That's right. It's not a fur.
If you're no whale tail.
We don't stand on ceremony.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I have so many... Sometimes I start this show with so many different thoughts in my head that it's almost tough to get out of the gate. Live from Podville Media, The Mike O'Mara Show is on right now. Anaheim, California, Orcas Island, Washington, York, Pennsylvania, Bombay, New York, Clinton, Massachusetts, Middlesex, Vermont. Glad to have you with us. An early taping and a bit of a fire drill at Podville Media. When I turn on the microphone, sometimes I hear Rob and Pony rustling around, scurrying with their last-minute fun. It seemed a little discombobulated this morning when you guys were rustling around. Everything all right now?
Everything okay? Everything is back on track. We just had a little computer issue on the other side, but I think we're okay now.
I don't know why that would be. Nobody touches it except for Pony.
No, I said on the other side, Oscar.
What's the other side?
The guy that's going to be our guest.
Oh, special guest.
He was blaming our guest.
No, just saying, hey, we're good.
It sounded like you both like got started close to showtime. That's what it sounded like.
I made it a bigger deal than it
should
be.
No, actually, he was in the waiting room ready to go at quarter of.
No, I'm talking about... Let's not talk about the guest at all.
All right.
Let's talk about you two. When did we get rolling here this morning?
I mean, I got here at about...
I got here at 7:59, and he was in his seat.
I got here at about 7:30.
You got here earlier than 7:59, I think.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, maybe not.
Yeah, I went and got a drink.
That's
when
I
walked
into
the
building.
Yes.
But we're here. So what time did everything okay?
Yeah.
Everything all right?
Aces.
And what time did you get here this morning?
About 7:30, 7:33, okay. I think.
It looks fresh. Looks
Pony, fit. What? And Pony, 7 a.m.?
7 a.m.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what you machine. Do.
I don't know why it's like that at the last minute when they're here early. I don't get it. But that's neither here nor there. It just sounded a little like, you know, there he is. He was here. He dropped off. I connected and it was gone and all that.
The guest.
But this will not be fruitful, this discussion, because I'm dealing with two people that won't help me in this regard. So let's move on, shall we?
Yes,
I
please.
Think it's wonderful. The other thing that I was thinking was how... I am out there now with a bit of a weight loss that I'm happy
You can
with.
Tell on camera, by the
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
You can totally tell now. Mm-hmm.
But
before,
the
not so
thing
much.
Is, Carla will ask me occasionally, she will say to me, has anyone said anything? And I'm like, most of the time I say, no. And it's like, don't go looking for something you're not going to get.
Ooh.
Because really... when I tell people my weight, people say, really? And that's because I carry it from the top of my head to the tip of my toe. So I'm not going to go fishing for it. And why I thought about that right before we came on, I really have no idea. I don't know.
Do you feel skinnier?
No.
Okay.
I mean, there is a pair of Greg Norman shorts that are a fat waist. That never was the correct size. Greg Norman, Live Tour.
Yeah, and the Land Shark.
And the line of, if you look at Greg Norman, it always looks like he's had a 10-inch waist.
Yeah.
And Greg Norman's clothing follows suit. So I have baggy legs and a tighter waist. Mm. And forever, I have looked at the number on that. And Rob, I'm sure you've gone through this too.
Sure.
You look at the number and you say, what's the deal? That same number fits me like perfectly. And so this morning was the day where I slid into them And finally, it was a non-issue. But they still would be a fat number. And I'm not revealing
nor should
any
you.
Of the numbers.
Can you give me north of?
No, I cannot. That would be revealing the numbers.
Don't poke. This is a sensitive moment.
That would not be revealing
the numbers.
What if
I sneak into your bedroom over the weekend and look at your waist size?
If you sneak into the bedroom over the weekend, you will see all of the stuff that did not go to storage that we have put in our master bedroom to make room for you guys.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Because, we weren't being nice. We're just emptying the space out.
Yeah.
And you'll see the shell when you get down here. And then, of course, busy day here because the whole crew will be arriving later on this afternoon.
Yes.
In Washington, D.C., and they couldn't be more excited about
it. I'm pumped.
Yes, I can't wait.
I need two hots and a mop, and I'll be good to go.
Can't wait.
You don't seem excited.
No, I'm not.
Are you kidding?
Tell the truth. Truth. Truth will set you free. Truth. You'd rather be doing anything else.
We're putting you out. It's okay.
I can't wait to get down there and hang with you guys, get this done, and also some decent weather. Are you kidding?
Well,
up here?
Let me tell you about the weather. All right.
All right.
I have shorts on underneath these pants.
Oh, that is so hot.
Yes.
Is down here close to record-breaking heat today.
Really?
Now, with that said, it was almost chilly when I walked the dog this morning. But I will tell you that by the end of the day, when you guys get here, it's going to be in that sweet spot where the sun's starting to, go down in the sky. But it'll be when you touch down.
Yes.
It will be hot.
I come from a tropical people, so
yes,
I yearn the heat.
And also, I was never a hot...
Yearn for heat, not yearn the heat.
Oh, damn it.
I was never a warm weather person until I lost the weight, and now I enjoy it. It's a definite change.
We're ready, and we're excited, and... I will be cooking for you this evening, and all of the food you will be eating all weekend. Get ready for your bowels to realize that it will all be of a spicy nature.
Ooh.
And all locally sourced, right?
I mean, I'm going to make you...
Don't make too much.
I'm going to make my... Why is that? Because if Shannon doesn't eat?
Well, she doesn't eat, and then you're going to be upset. And I kind of,
No, I really won't. I'm expecting... Like, we're going to a fat place on Friday, and then Carla had the idea to go to a fat place on Saturday, which I immediately went, of course.
Yeah.
Primary motivator, cheap.
Ah.
That's that. Well, but that's also where we go.
What is the Saturday? What is the Saturday fat
Saturday
place?
Is going to be the Buffalo Chips, which is the place I took Jimmy.
I've been there.
Which is the dive bar.
Have I been there?
Where you get...
Sports bar?
What's that?
Sports bar,
You could call it. It's really
the tourney's going on this weekend. We can watch games tonight, hang out, and then tomorrow night, and then Saturday.
Yes,
tons of sports memorabilia on the wall.
Nah, I want the
game. But it's our dive. And Carla said, and then we can go outside and play the hook game. You know, where you take the ring
on the ring. Yeah,
we might have to take an audible on that. Let me just
thank you. I said that's where the trailers are.
You know, I did
this place is a dive. So
I played a trick
Saturday.
On Jimmy. Jimmy has the hook game at his beer garden.
Where does he have it?
At the far end of the bar.
Really?
Yeah. And when Twitch and I were there, I think it was after fruitcaking, we tied a small slip knot into the string, so it wasn't long enough to catch.
You two crazy kids. That must have been multiple cocktails when that
I'm
happened.
Here.
No, that was my sober time.
It was your sober time.
I just sat back with a club soda and laughed at people. And everyone is always, I know how to do it. And it was just great viewing.
Mike, how do you find the one place that screams Manassas in every town you move to?
Well, it's look what he place. Craves.
Well, the real
like,
reason.
It looks like we're back in Manassas.
The real reason this place, Jimmy would tell you this.
Hey, it has a wagon wheel out front.
The wings. The wings.
It's Jimmy's or bus for me, but we'll go. Absolutely.
Do you like wings?
I love wings.
Yes.
They're the best. They're the best anywhere. And here's the thing. Down here, you don't have, really, when it comes to food, the best.
Right. You have the best of the. So what you do when you find something that's like, wow, this is really better than I would get in a lot of places, you take advantage. Now, with Mia, it's just margarita fun. That's what that is.
Well, we don't really
Rob,
drink.
I'm sorry.
No, you're going to be bored with us. I'll
that's
drink.
Fine.
But, you know.
Oscar, you're going to have to step up.
You're going to have to step up, Oscar.
Okay, well. Iguana Mia, this looks like fun. Looks like I'm going to Tijuana.
Yeah, but they have no wagon wheel at fun.
No, this is a lot of fun. Oh, their website's on point.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, good work.
It's a local chain.
It's not what you painted a picture of.
They have three of them.
Yes.
Holy,
there's three. Yep.
They expanded.
Cape Coral, Bonita, and Fort Myers. Thank you very much. Not that I know the chain very well.
Will you read the what's on the splash page?
I'm playing at Happy Valley with a shishi guy, mm-hmm. and he goes, "Oh my God, the margarita!" And I was like, "Yeah,
I've been telling
yeah,
you,
the little secret, right?"
Hola. I knew nothing. Come about and visit it. Me.
Very exciting.
That's what it says.
Very, very exciting. So, but more than anything else,
this is cool.
It's you're going to have what's going to be your high temperature today up there?
No,
today
59.
Yeah, like 60.
But that's a high. Well, that's the high that it's been like weeks.
And this it's also going to be intermittent rain and damp. Yeah. You know what? It smelled like a Washington springtime day today.
Drizzly this morning.
You know that smell?
So the cool thing is when you come to a climb like ours is that you hop off and it's going to hit you like a little wave.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun, fun, fun. And I will have my assistant with me at the airport, and we will greet you
Tattoo?
At the airport, as I do all my guests. I get out of the... What did you say?
Your assistant, Tattoo?
Yes. Tattoo Michael William O'Mara. And Tattoo and I will be there, and because most of my... You get the treatment. You get the full treatment where I greet you at the airport. I go inside, get out of the car. I am not somebody... However, with all the stuff that's coming...
Mm.
I'm wondering if perhaps I should simply pull the car up to the airport.
You do love your airport.
I would like I would like you to greet us.
Then and Michael would too.
I feel
so
important.
You like
you
that?
Can
a
you
radio
can
god meeting me outside the gate.
You want to inconvenience him?
What?
What's wrong with you? Are you going to be like this all weekend?
He is.
Well, Mike, because I'm
a radio god.
I'm a radiophile deep down. The fact that
we work together every day.
But I haven't breached the perimeter of your new space yet. I want to see how you live and what's up.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Why do I feel like he's... Rob,
yes?
Why do I feel like when he does that, he's just going to take a little inventory?
No.
Of course
he
is.
How am I...
Where he's going to say, hey, excuse me, I don't have.
There's no comparison. You cut your teeth for 30 years. I'm still making my way. Also, who am I supposed to tell? DCRTV Dave? He's gone. I got nowhere to go with this intel.
He'll still be that way, though. He will.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
But we're only down there for what, 9-10 days?
Pony, I'll take pics for you. I know you want to know, too.
You're not going to want to leave.
Of course not.
Incidentally, when I show Oscar what's been happening down here recently, he's not going to want to leave.
Oh, you mean the tent?
And I mean like fire sales down here. But it's in Washington, D.C. Anywho.
There was a storm.
I'm looking forward to it. That's not really
it. Really?
I think it's the national housing thing. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
What's happening with that. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. Is your bride looking forward to visiting?
She is pumped. She was packing all night last night. I said, it's not that type of trip. We're going to be working. But she
tell her bring a bathing suit.
Yeah.
And, you know, hang
she
out.
Has,
take
hope,
it
I
easy,
hope.
Mike.
I hope. I said, hey, fullbacks. It's a family affair. She's like, I don't have any fullbacks. I was like, fine.
Tell her to bring all of her bathing suits.
What's a fullback?
What you wear to a family pool if
it covers
you're a classy
your ass.
Lady.
That's right. It's not a whore.
If you're no whale tail.
We don't stand on ceremony. Get him. We don't stand on the... I'm making it ugly already. I'm making it ugly and uncomfortable
no swimming.
Already.
Hey, what? Did you know it's...
No swimming, no pool.
No swimming.
beach night at Buffalo Chips if you want to just keep that on.
Bunch of creeps. Oh my God, it's like we've never gotten together before, isn't it? It's gonna be
it's fun. Been a while. It's been a while since we've had a total social get together.
Well, and be for you guys to stay at the house is very, very yeah. cool. And mm-hmm. I'll see what people's sleep habits are and all that fun. And if I have time today, when I pick you up, there might be a rodent in the car.
Ooh.
That and the first treat you will get will be the is
don't put yourself out.
It'll be the feeding of the snake.
Mm.
Just you like in road trip.
No interest in that?
I'll look.
But I like to see.
Fun.
Is it? I'm is not, it going to turn me?
Circle, it's the circle of life.
I'm not really into that, Mike. mm-hmm. But I'm not a square. I'll check it out.
All right, very good.
I'm a square.
It should be fun. Looking yeah. forward to it. After this discussion, I...
Yeah, we're a bunch of losers.
I just assume you don't come down. Anyway, let's bring in our talking head, shall we?
Yes, please.
Frank DiGiacomo. Frank DiGiacomo. MMN/SS. Machinist, mate, nuclear submarine specialist, first class. Ooh. Currently?
Yes.
Currently. He's calling from the sub.
He has served in the U.S. Navy for 10 years, a submariner, the elite of the Navy, ladies. Look at that guy. Wow. His listenership goes back to the mid-2000s, and he is a podcast guy from day one. Born in Long Island, or as I used to say at Marist, Long Island. Long Island. Hey, brew, that's a pizza. Frank lives in Colchester, Connecticut, and serves in Groton. For those of you that don't know, I was born and raised in Connecticut myself. Groton is where the sub bases are. New London is where they used to make them. I don't know if they still do in New London, but anywho, Groton. I went down to Groton. I was 13 years old, and my dad was buddies with Commander Crabtree, and we had dinner on a nuclear submarine in dry dock.
Cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks. God, they're in that mode. They're in visit me mode. Don't worry. He is a graduate of the University of Maine. Oh, Orno, in broadcast journalism. Thanks to us. He's a radiophile who dreamed of being on air. He served as the radio play-by-play guy for UMaine men's hockey, the best sport at the University of Maine. Wow, for 3 years, and worked in radio at a classic rock station, an oldie station, for 5 years. Currently, he is serving in the U.S. Navy as a nuclear mechanic on submarines. This is the best of the best, ladies and gentlemen. He once survived a flooding submarine.
Ooh.
Intrigued you should be. Now here is Frank DiGiacomo. Frank, what a resume. How are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
It is so amazing. I don't know where to begin. This is once again the type of talking head situation where everybody's got a great story, but you go to UMO. Did you go Orno? Is that where you went to the University of Maine? So you go to University of Maine, get a degree in broadcast journalism, start out in journalism, and then you pivot. Did you pivot to the U.S. Navy?
Hard pivot.
Nice.
So. Hard pivot. I mean, wow. Listen to the pipes on this.
I know,
guy,
right?
Too.
Yeah. Mm.
I want to date
him. I mean, not only is it a hard pivot, but it's not like you sign up and they say, all right, Frank, we're going to put you on the USS Theodore Roosevelt, and listen, we'll need you to work on these reactors. That's a lot of training that goes on. How did you make the journey from radio into the United States Navy on a nuclear, repairing a nuclear submarine?
Well, it was thanks to a lot of radio shows I used to listen to that I wanted to do broadcast journalism, and I wanted to do sports broadcast. So no thanks to you guys, I decided to get a degree in broadcast journalism. And you too, Oscar. Thanks for the going.
It's our fault.
Yeah, it
Thank
is
you,
our
sir.
Fault.
We make it sound like it's fun.
I'll cop to it. I'll cop to it. Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
all the money there, 4 years doing great.
Yeah.
And, all the money left. So I considered a career choice, and I said, I'm done going from tiny radio station to tiny radio station. Let's check this out. Walked in and said, what can I do? Took the exam. He looks at me and goes, you got a technical background? I go, no. You're great. Want to be a nuclear mechanic? I go, sure. Hook, line, and sinker, they got me in.
Okay, so you go in.
That's awesome.
And they're obviously going to train you, and and I would imagine that it's not exactly a 6-week class to go into that field. How much training did you have to go before they unleashed you on the United States Navy's nuclear fleet?
For nukes, it's boot camp like everybody else. Right. A school, which is just training on how to be your generic thing of here's a hammer, here's a wrench. That's right. A couple months. Then it's 6 months of essentially learning nuclear physics being thrown at you and dumbed down for any 18, 19-year-old to figure it out. And then after that, you go to a prototype for roughly 6 months to a year, depending on the schedule. And then you pass that, get sent out to the fleet, and good luck.
So going on, I've always heard this, and I don't know, you can tell me whether it's true or not, that it is a pretty high-level duty to get onto a nuclear submarine. And I've always wanted to know, in the Navy, is that's not by chance, is it, that you get sent to a nuclear sub?
No, you have to volunteer, or else you're just going to be on the surface. You volunteer, then you have to get screened. If you pass a screening, they say, this is what you're going to expect. You do an eval, and then they put you on board. If you're not a good fit, they surface you. Not a huge deal. You get to stay in, still do what you're trained to do. But for us in the tin can underneath the water, we're a different breed.
So when you say they surface you, so you have a training period on the sub, and they're aware of this. And if somebody, obviously, if somebody kind of wigs out while they're on the nuclear sub, they bring it to the surface and send the person back? Is that how it works?
Not like specifically servicing the submarine, servicing the personnel. So instead of making them a submarine volunteer.
Oh, it's service, not surface. Okay. So as far as the challenges, and I know the deployments, and I'm working off memory here, would they be maximum something about, you can go under sea for 6 months on a sub, right?
We can go on under the water for as long as we have food. Honestly.
Okay.
Wow.
Food is the major thing that'll run out first. We will have plenty of fuel. We've got electricity. Everything's powered. It's fuel. It's fuel for the crew. And then if there's any personnel issues, so if somebody gets sick, they got to transfer off, things like that. But other than that, we'll stay under for a while. Certain boats, depending on what type of classes, they'll stay under. I was under one that we wouldn't see the sun for several months, 4 or 5 at a time.
Wow.
And then we'll pull into port and that's it. Other guys, they do a couple of months underway. They'll pull into a foreign port and go back out and do the same thing after about a week seeing land. So it all depends on the type of schedule, all that stuff. But realistically, you become very comfortable seeing the same paint, the same steel, and getting cozy in Iraq.
And that's why you have the psychological evals to deal with that. And I don't know whether it's a myth or not. I'm spewing out because I went on one when I was a kid. So I've always been fascinated with the service. And thank you for your service. When you're on a sub, I've always heard that the chow in the submarine corps is the best in the Navy. Is that a myth or is that the truth?
I've seen the pictures of surface food and the fact that our cooks have to cook for the captain. They don't have special ones. They don't have, ooh, this is the captain's cook. Oh, this is the lower enlisted cook. Nope. It's the same 8 guys. They cook. They'll turn around, serve the captain, serve us the same slop. We had some of the best. So some of the guys had to watch their diet. But, man, I had some of the best Thanksgiving underway.
Oh, see, that's good to know. So cool. That they do that. And then you wrote down when Rob was talking to you that you survived a flooding submarine. That would be, I would imagine, a rather high stress experience to go through.
It was a flooding submarine. What had happened was we come out of dry dock and we come out of shipyard after getting refueled. We go underway on sea trials where you have to go at specific depths.
Right.
And test everything just to make sure the shakedown period's correct and you're not going to find random holes that shouldn't be there. Well, we went down to where our lowest point and we're testing some things. And all of a sudden, I'm walking around on watch, taking some logs, and we hear the collision alarm and we hear flooding. Flooding from
when
that
you
point,
say you hear flooding, the sound of flooding, or you hear flood, flood, flood?
yeah, they say flooding over the one I'm seeing. That's it. And then I look down and went, well, this is it. Hope it's a quick death. And I grab onto the nearest pump and we start going up at a very steep angle and my feet start lifting off the ground. And then we level out. And I went, oh, that was quick. Am I dead? And then wow. We find out that it's not flooding. Captain comes on. Not flooding. Continue on. We're like, we don't. How do we come back from that? I just saw my. We find out that a guy sleeping randomly, because we had more than we should have held. We had hundreds of people on board for testing, a lot of civilians, a lot of contract workers, and extra crewmen. Right. Just to help the rotation, because we're all testing everything.
Yeah, you're doing sea trials, right?
Yeah, one guy's randomly sleeping somewhere underneath a drain pipe that had opened up or overflown. Got on him. He wakes up in a panic, freaks out, looks at the nearest guy, go flooding. And the guy goes, "All right," cranks the alarm, and everyone in control goes, "Okay, let's go."
Wow!
Wow!
God.
Go ahead, Oscar. That is so cool.
Frank, I have to ask you a couple things. One is we have been lucky enough to work with the George and Barbara Bush Foundation here at Podville, and some of the media that we've created has and is on the USS George H.W. Bush. It was fascinating how, I guess most people know this, I just didn't know, that you just can't email a bunch of files over and you can't just access Apple Podcasts or Spotify from the carrier. They have to bring it in a safe manner and ingest it into the system, right? How do you, without giving any trade secrets away, can you bring anything on you? Like, what do you just bring a book?
You mean
what
as,
do
far you bring? As far as online content?
Yeah. Not online, but just something to keep you company.
Right. Good question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We had guys hooking up PS4s in their racks. So you can hook it up, but it has to get screened first by our IT department.
Got
to make
it.
Sure that you're not bringing anything on, and you sure as hell is not bringing anything off.
Got it.
So everything gets screened. Everything gets looked at. But you guys were with me the entire time. I had you guys while I was working out. I had you guys while I was going to bed. It was a comforting voice to hear.
Oh.
So you could get the show. You could get the when we upload the show, you can get the show.
Not the new ones. I had to have the saved download. So
you got to bank them
a bunch. So I kept going over those and shows, and it was Groundhog Day. Some days I'm like, did I listen to this yesterday?
Also, that's awesome. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question about the sensation of traveling underwater in a submarine. I've been on a couple dirigibles or blimps, and they tend to feel like you're on a boat because you're dealing with air pockets and things instead of waves. Is there seasickness? What is the steadiness of the craft when you're underwater and cruising?
Submarines want to be underwater. When we're underwater, it's like you're walking in a building. It's not you don't feel anything.
Wow.
The only time I did feel it was we were a couple hundred feet down, and we were going underneath a hurricane, and I had walked back, and everybody was swaying. I go, geez, we're a PD. Like, are we going through a storm? They're like, we're not a PD. We're hundreds of feet down. So I go look at the depth gauge, and I go, we're there and we're feeling it. And it was a Cat 3 out in the water.
Oh.
And we're going underneath that. We could feel it. The only time you really feel it is when you're at PD before you surface. And I was in my rack, and I was dreaming about thunderstorms. I'm like, I can hear it. It's very soothing. And I go, that's not thunderstorms. That's the water slapping against the boat because we're going in and out of the water, and we're flying around. That's the only time you feel it. Submarines like being underwater. It's safe there.
That's
crazy. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm just stepping all over you. This is a dumb question, and I don't want to hear about it online. All right? I'm just going to ask.
Okay, here we go.
When you're underwater, I know there's no windows. I get that. All right. I'm not thinking this is a Steven Spielberg movie, but have you ever heard of or thought that maybe a giant squid has attacked one of the subs you've been on?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Just a question.
We're not Jules Verne-ing it. We have heard biologics. Whales have been nearby. No, we haven't heard the giant squid. We haven't heard the megalodon. But the one thing that does love submarines. Dolphins love submarines.
Really? So that it's just like similar to what you would see with a large boat in the water where they go off the bow. They like the motion of the water, the displacement, right? They're attracted to that. Is that what they like?
Yes. So when we're shallow, they love it. When we surface and we're making waves, they're jumping all over the place. You can't get rid of them.
Oh, that's
so
wild.
I want to get, before we get to let you go, I want to get to the main thing that you did, because that's fascinating as well. But I wanted to ask you a generic question, but I always ask it with somebody with a fascinating occupation. Best thing about being on a nuclear sub and the worst thing about being on a nuclear sub?
Best thing is definitely the crew. If you got a good crew around you, there, it's a family. It's a brotherhood. You wake up, you see the same guy. You know their quirks. You know what gets them down. You know how to pick them back up. Mm-hmm. You're going through this S together, and that's really the best thing. Mm-hmm. And the jobs are usually fun. We find stupid things to do.
Right.
The worst thing besides the cleaning is being away from home. And the type of boat I was on, I got 160 characters of an email every couple of months from my wife or from my parents that say, "Hey, hope you're doing good. You know, the kids are all right." That's it. That was really the worst.
Wow.
That's got to be the tough
thing. Yeah, but you get to save while you're on the sub.
You get to save.
Yeah, save your dollars, right? You're not spending it out there.
It's always dollars with you. I swear. Before you did this, you were, by the way, the Black Bears up in Maine, the hockey team. I remember skating in my New England hometown, and our two best guys both went to the University of Maine. And both of them didn't make the team. The Canadian influence of the hockey teams up at the University of Maine, pretty significant. Had to be a blast doing that while you were in college, doing play-by-play for the University of Maine hockey team. I bet you dug that.
Oh, I loved it. It was one of the greatest things of my life. And I still have all my saved games. Once in a while, I listen to it for nostalgia's sake, but it was phenomenal.
How hot is it up there for, and when I mean that, not temperature, is it popular, super popular? Do a lot of people come to the games for UMO? Does that happen?
You don't like being a visiting team there because you're underneath the student section, and boy, those boys are loud. They're angry. They will get on the goalie. It's a nice home ice advantage. And when I was on air, I mean, I was a homer all the way. I could care less if BC scored a goal. Yeah, sure, whatever. We're still up 2-1.
right. Boy, Frank, what a blast talking to you about that world of nuclear subs. I want to make sure I've got everything here, but it's so cool. And really, seriously, we don't say it enough, but thank you for doing what you do. You've seen the movies, folks. You know how important that line of work is.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, is there anybody you want to say hi to while we've got you on the show?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to say hi to my dad. It's his fault that I'm in love with you guys. He got me into talk radio, and he showed me the Dynamite Show way back in the day.
Wow.
So it's his fault. My mom, my wonderful wife, my two crazy kids, which they love when we go on car rides, especially hockey games. Can we listen to Mike O'Mara show? Can we listen to Uncle Mike? I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's put it on.
And then Uncle Mike. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's and you guys and all the vets out there, you know, thanks for everything.
So you've been doing it for 10 years, and how much longer you figure you're going to stay in the service?
I mean, like I said, I got two boys that are actively trying to kill each other. They're finding new ways to put each other into headlocks. So I need to help insurance. I'll probably retire.
Good for you. Thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. Frank DiGiacomo, what a pleasure, and applause to you, Robbie. That was a beauty right there. Take care, Frank. Thank you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got the homepage and lots more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Man, oh man, that was fun.
Men, are you tired of radio? All those yakety-yaks filling your heads with nonsense day in, day out? After a long day at work, don't you just want your pipe and slippers and some measurable entertainment? Well, here at More Industries, we strive every day to make podcasts that bring the funny. Take the Mike O'Mara Show and the Bonus Hour, for instance. This joyful bantering of ball-busting humor lightens the load of your drudging life. Over here, we see our newest machine, the DGH-4000. It can crank out 50 jokes an hour. Let's see what it says. Hobbledoogee. Ah, well, back to the drawing board. TMOS and More Industries, making the funny just for you.
If you're trying to improve your health, hydration is a great place to start. I love doing this at the beginning of the show because, look, I've almost got
a
full flagon, and I really love it. Liquid IV is what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. It's the hydration brand that fuels your well-being. Their hydration multiplier just may be the one product that you're missing in your daily routine. Let me tell you, when it gets hot down here in Florida, we need hydration. Just one stick gives you 5 essential vitamins, 2 times faster hydration than water alone. Use it first thing in the morning before a workout, when you feel run down after a long night out, on long flights. Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients, is non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy, and absolutely delicious. They have a variety of flavors, from lemon lime to watermelon to strawberry to passion fruit. All great. Plus, Liquid IV, on a mission to change the world. They have given 25 million servings in over 50 countries around the world because they're good folks. It's convenient and oh so delish. It's the best way to start your day. So be like me, drink Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
Man, oh man, that talking head segment, Frank, yeah. It's been a while, and it never fails to, that's the reason I don't look at it until the last minute. I'm not doing it because I do plenty of show prep for this show, but that's the part I like to be surprised with, and that just gets me excited. My memory, before we do the news here, my memory of being on the subway, let me look through the periscope, and I will never forget.
Oh, that's cool.
We looked miles away.
Wow.
And zoomed in on a guy standing up at one of the bridges in New London, or Groton. I forgot. They're interchangeable, but they're all sub-related. And a guy is sitting there relaxing on top of a bridge, smoking a smoke.
Naked.
And naked. There he was. Yes, Chicky. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. It was super cool. And I loved having Frank on the show. Really, really good time.
Hello.
Thank you. No, that's not what I'm playing. No.
Better.
That's what I wanted. In a new profile for Vanity Fair, Gisele Bündchen, she says Tom Brady's unretirement isn't what broke them up. At least it wasn't the only thing. Here's her quote. Wow. I don't know what she sounds like. Let me just preface this, all right? But I'm having fun. It's what I do.
All right.
And I know in this climate, it's always difficult.
You never know.
So, people really made it about that. What's been said in one piece of a much bigger puzzle. It's not so black and white. Mm. It takes years to happen.
Is that what she might sound
That's
like?
That's exactly what know. She sounds yeah. like, yeah.
She adds,
sometimes you go together, sometimes you go apart. Is it safe?
No, she didn't say that. I'm sorry. Gisele also denies that politics broke him up. Remember that picture of a MAGA hat in Brady's locker in 2015? Yeah. No, that didn't do it. Here's something else that didn't cause the split. The jiu-jitsu instructor.
Oh, him.
He's everywhere.
She says, I think at this point, unfortunately, because I'm divorced, I don't know why I'm turning her into Arnold.
No, really Mike, I think you
Hello, everybody.
You need to pull it back a little bit. I think she sounds more like the Nazi in the black hat in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Hello, Mr. Jones.
Your fire has grown cold.
I think at this point, unfortunately, because I'm divorced, I'm sure they are going to try to attach me to anything. He's our teacher, and most importantly, he is a person that I admire and I trust.
Don't you?
In the bedroom and without. I'm adding quotes that aren't there.
We are not thirsty.
The paparazzi, okay, fine. You fall in love with your bodyguard, you fall in love with your manager, that's what happens, right?
Yeah, jiu-jitsu instructor.
But Brady, he doesn't seem like he's easy to live with either.
No. I think he's a gnat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a diva. Look. You know, by being around professional athletes, mm-hmm. and I've been around him for a long time. The level of ass kissing, and I'll give you an elderly quarterback,
yes.
Sonny Jurgensen. Rob witnessed this.
Oh, yeah.
The level of ass kissing that a professional quarterback in the NFL gets rivals nothing in any area of celebrity.
Almost and its own zip code. It's crazy.
So throw being the GOAT in,
mm-hmm.
and you got Tom Brady. How could you not be incorrigible? He's been a deity for multiple years. And
correct.
That would be a handful for anybody.
He has a rather strong fan base.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, deal with that. All right. Rob Spiewak, let me ask you this question.
Shoot.
How old is too old to be driving?
Apparently 52.
No, Rob. No flip.
Oh.
97-year-old Dick Van Dyke.
Still driving?
He crashed into a block wall.
Somehow I have now turned Dick Van Dyke into Bill Walton. I don't know why.
Well, I think you're pretty close.
He crashed into a block wall at a gate last Wednesday in Malibu, California.
He was driving by himself.
97.
He said he lost control because the road was wet
from all the L.A. rain. Sources say drugs and alcohol were not involved.
Dick's injuries were minor. Snapped him right in two.
Oh, my God.
No. His injuries were minor. He was found bleeding from his nose and mouth and might have suffered a concussion. Paramedics treated him at the scene, but he refused to be taken to the hospital. Police allegedly asked the DMV to give Dick a driving retest because of his age. But that has not been confirmed.
At 97, is the car the only thing he lost control of?
I'm not quite sure, but I really think at that age, perhaps it's time
Well, for years, his driver was Buddy Sorrell.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, hello there. This is great. This is great. I'm going to take Rob Petrie up to his doctor's appointment. That's it.
More
oh, man, I gotta take him down to the pharmacy again. We could have all been resting.
Jeff Garland is notably a hog. He looks like a hog, and apparently he is a hog. Suddenly, his firing a short time back from the Goldbergs surprised a lot of people. He was fired due to his workplace behavior, and it was a shock to viewers. But to at least some people on set, it was a relief. Now, look, you got to read between the lines on what this guy was up to. His on-screen wife, Wendy McClendon Covey. That's got to be the person he works with the closest.
Yeah.
I was not a big fan of the Goldbergs. You took it in,
I still watch it, and it's been on about it. This is its last season. It's been on about a year and a half too long.
Does he do a lot of scenes with the lady that plays his wife?
He did when he was on.
He was like one of the main characters. Yeah. I remember meeting my sister's friends with one, I guess, you know, from L.A., whatever, one of the assistant directors of that show, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I was asking him about the cast, and the lady who plays the wife, who's another main character, what's her name again?
Wendy McClendon Covey.
Yeah.
She's very funny,
She's
by
supposed
the way.
To be one of the nicest people in show business. So I'll take that with a grain of salt.
So, and obviously, she probably did more scenes with him than anybody.
Yeah.
This is her quote about his firing. It was a long time coming.
Wow.
And when it finally happened, she felt like, quote, someone is listening to us.
Mm.
How horrible did that have to be? I mean, when you say that, the guy's obviously not behaving well. Wendy doesn't want to talk specifics, but she says that she was, quote, exhausted by the PTSD of working with Garland for nine seasons.
God, I hate to hear that because he's such a funny man on Curb. He was great on that show.
And so good looking.
And really, he can't get by on his looks forever, Mike.
Exactly. Hey, muscle car fans, you're in mourning today because General Motors just killed the Chevy Camaro.
Mm.
Yep, they announced they're discontinuing it after 2024 because sales have dropped. The last one will roll off production next January. The original Camaro came out all the way back in 66. So it's been around almost 60 years. And this isn't the first time they've stopped making it. They hit a pause button for a while in 03 before relaunching the brand in 2010. The good news is it sounds like that could be in the cards this time, too. And it might just be another temporary pause. Chevy broke the news in a press release and said they're not announcing a successor, but, quote, this is not the end of Camaro's story. So I can, it's writing on the wall. It'll be an electric Camaro. That's
yeah,
what it'll be.
Easy.
That's what I think they're going to do. So let's move on.
And it'll be a bitchin' Camaro, Mike.
Rob, I know you're on the wagon now, but is there any chance this actually tastes good? Powdered beer is now something that exists.
Like Sanka.
A German brewery. Yeah, we talked about Sankey yesterday. A German brewery that's been around since the 1500s came up with it. It works the same way as instant coffee. You just mix it with water and stir. It's apparently not the first time someone's made powdered beer, but this one's carbonated, and that's a first. They claim it looks and tastes just like regular beer, which is hard to believe. The current version is non-alcoholic.
Okay,
well, you could enjoy that.
Sure.
But they say a boozy version will be available in the next few months, and they'll start selling it globally. It's something you could buy yourself, or bars might mix it in with water to save money. Ugh. Why does that just sound gross to me? So why even do this? Their answer is the environment. It's cheaper and easier to transport, so there's a much smaller carbon footprint, ladies and gentlemen.
Here, try a sip of this, Chef Rush.
Fantastic! Yes, sirree.
I tried just to try it. Just to see what it's about.
Yeah, I would too.
Right? Yeah, it's got to be horrible, though. I'd just eat the powder.
It dissolves on your tongue.
Exactly.
Your now a little something-something, ladies and gentlemen. A Disney super fan named Nathan Firesheets just went to all 12 Disney theme parks in the world, and he did it in 12 days. Mm. Let me give him a fanfare for that. God, that's loud.
Good for you.
He hit one park per day, but didn't just pop in and leave. He also went on every single operating ride.
Oh, that's
all crazy. 216 of them at all the parks. Here's a quick rundown. Started with Disneyland Paris on March 8th, then went to Walt Disney Studios Park on the 9th. After that, he immediately flew to China, went to Shanghai Disneyland, then Hong Kong Disneyland, then Tokyo Disneyland, Tokyo Disney Sea. That sounds like a SeaWorld type of place.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
After that, back to California for Disneyland, the original, and Disney California Adventure on the 15th. Then he headed to Orlando. Yay! In my state! And he finished up with Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and the Magic Kingdom on the 19th, this past Sunday. He documented the whole thing for his YouTube page, which has about 1,000 followers. He called it the Disney Global Ride Challenge, but he hasn't posted the footage yet. He's been busy with his...
What?
He's been busy with his other hobby, compulsive masturbation. There we go. Thank you very much. There
Gross.
You go. Yeah. Mother! Mother, we're out of cheese sticks.
Isn't that in Fantasyland where he does that?
Yes, he does. In a secret room. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll come back with a little bit of a spelling test.
Oh,
get ready
yes.
to be educated on the Mike O'Mara Show.
People all over are talking about a new way of pampering themselves.
The Brazilian. I thought it had something to do with beekeeping.
Introducing a new you, feeling young and vibrant.
Dirkaglow. Why can I not get the name Dirk out of my head?
Hey, ladies. Let's get you looking radiant.
Here's an unsolicited testimonial about Dirkaglow.
Ladies, let me give you the truth. That Dirkaglow sh** will mess you up.
Well, it ain't for everyone. If you really want to pamper yourself, check out the real thing. Check out Dermglow Skin to see what Carla can do for you.
She is a pure artist in her field. By the way, men need not apply.
For products or consultation, visit DermglowSkin.com today.
And by the way,
la la
bye,
la,
Carla.
La 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 la. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
What a nice man.
If you think an e-bike can't handle your haul, think again. The all-new Expedition by Lectric is the cargo e-bike designed to carry more so you can do more while enjoying the fresh air. Whether you're packing groceries, gear, or even an extra passenger, the Expedition e-bike has you covered. It has a carrying capacity of 450 pounds, and you can go up to 150 miles on a single charge with its double battery setup. It's perfect for carrying passengers, including the kids. Mm. Electric e-bikes are foldable. They ship free, fully assembled, and there are over 250,000 dedicated riders on the road so far, including our man, Oscar Santana, who was our test rabbit for electric e-bikes.
I'll have a video out in 2 weeks.
2 weeks!
2 weeks!
There's something for everybody. Plus, no parking fees. Don't forget that. Check out the all-new Expedition Cargo e-bike from Electric. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more about the Expedition Cargo e-bike and all of the other sweet rides Electric has to offer. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Before we get to this little spell-a-thon here, I wanted to check in with Oscar, and he came in today mentioning that he had two celebrity sightings today or yesterday or whenever you had.
Well, I have that, and then maybe I'll start with the low-hanging fruit, which is me. And I got a text yesterday from a listener that I haven't seen in like a decade.
The listener himself or herself?
Well, himself.
Himself. It's a guy.
It was actually on Facebook Messenger. I just half the time I never see those.
Right.
And he says, I think I just saw, it's been forever. This is JT Slice. And I remember JT. You remember him from years ago. I remember him. Yeah, I think I just saw your doppelganger step out of a blue Volvo SUV on the corner of 19th and M. And I said, well, that was me right before 9 o'clock.
Yes.
And then I sat there, and for a moment, I felt famous again, just for a moment. Is that strange?
It is, because I do the same thing. I think now in the land of podcast, it's kind of fun when you get that. Now, with that said, I also get this vibe, you know, where I worry about,
I'll take it.
Creeped out.
You want to wear my skin as a suit? Just be nice to me before you do it.
Ew. Yeah.
There he is. There he is. You got recognized. It's fun.
It was great.
Always nice.
The acknowledgement. It was awesome. It's very cool. I like it when I get surprised by it.
But if you're up here all the time.
Not really. I mean, it'll happen to me now when I least expect it. And that's okay. But I mean, the only time it was ever really intense was back in the day when I was doing the Don and Mike show and we got the TV commercials on the air.
Right.
That was it. Back when I worked with the chimpanzee.
It's exponentially harder to be recognized as a radio personality out in the wild.
It is indeed.
So when it happens, it's cool. JT, thank you for texting.
Well, that's why you have to go around saying, I'm on the radio.
You might not remember me, but I'm somewhat of a famous radio presenter. And I also remember the cartoon I used to have on my refrigerator, which shows a child sitting at the breakfast table, head in his hand, sobbing, and the mother standing over him. And the caption reads, "Don't worry, son. I remember when I saw my first disc jockey."
So true, though. Do you know, I can remember the first picture of a broadcaster that horrified me is Uncle Johnny on Q107.
And it's Kiana shirts.
But it just, when I saw a promotional picture of him,
Well, Uncle Johnny, though, sounded like he looked a little bit, right?
Yeah, but no one wants to look like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other disturbing thing is Weasel sounded like he looked.
Weasel
was always, I got a chance to drive him around as
Weasel playing the rock and roll.
So I got to talk to him. He didn't talk much.
He didn't drive, and he also would never let anyone into his apartment.
Yeah, I had to drop him off right at the front of his building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Albie D. I was shocked when I met him. It's Albie D.
Nobody could wear the tank top like Albie.
A loose-fitting tank top.
But your celebrity sightings. Yes. Tell us about those.
So Sunday, we get back into the district, afternoon, no big deal. Fine. Shannon takes my dad home to his house. We're good to go. And we were driving through Georgetown, and I had glanced over. Because you people watch when you're in traffic, rotting, trying to get to your house.
Sure.
And I saw a guy that was like, oh, that guy looked like Conan O'Brien. And I was like, what the hell would Conan be doing here? Stop listening or watching those videos online. Like, you're good. He's on your feed all the time.
By the way, Conan O'Brien's Coco, Team Coco's online presence is
just
probably
prolific.
One of the best, mm-hmm. one of the best yeah. in the business. Like, and you, I've gained garnered a new appreciation for that. Craig Ferguson as well. Yeah. I love his little flirtatious videos
on TikTok.
So, you get another sighting?
And then, and Shannon's like waving me off. She's like, I think that was Conan O'Brien. Because he's tall.
Very
he's
tall.
Super tall, right?
He's like 6'5",
in the car next door? Is
no,
he walking on the
walking
sidewalk?
No, he's walking by in front of Clyde's.
Downtown Georgetown.
Downtown Georgetown. And she's like, no, Conan's not there, you dummy. And I'm like, all right, fine. Wave it off.
You dummy.
But let me tell you about Oscar. If Oscar thinks it is, Oscar will stop the car and hop out and go into
I would
Clyde's
have.
See.
I was just getting off a flight. It wasn't on my A game.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm online and I'm on this website called the DCist, where you get all the hot gossip.
Yeah.
What's going on in DC, or, you know, what restaurants opening or shutting down.
Right.
And they're like, spotted. There's a spotted, and it's Conan O'Brien and Jake Tapper and Adam Sandler all at Clyde's in Georgetown on Sunday. Because apparently Conan, they taped his Mark Twain special.
Oh, right.
At the Kennedy Center. And they were just
It was Sandler being honored.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
And they were bebopping around Georgetown. And you know me with celebrities, like, get me involved.
That is like, that is A-list TV talk show celeb, followed by A-list news personality, followed by A-list movie star.
Yes.
That's a trifecta
AAA rated.
Of celebrity. Yeah. You should have gotten out of the car.
Mm-hmm. And I looked at Shannon and I was like, I told you.
And they rolled into Clyde's?
I was like, we could have gone. We could have gone. And
Clyde's is, you know, it's a large restaurant, but, you know, come on. I mean, it would have been.
I said, I'm not shy. I would have said hello.
Yeah.
This would have been great for the show.
Right.
I was like, stop being a dream killer. I said,
dream killer.
By the way, you spotted him, though, Oscar.
I did.
I mean, he is almost impossible not to with the height,
yes.
right?
Well, he's tall, super and tall. He's got that tall hair. The hair adds 2 inches.
And he had, like, a little, like, not a ski cap, but an ill-fitting ski cap. And I'm like, that guy looks awkward. It looks like Conan O'Brien.
Really?
It was him.
Ski cap.
That's wild.
Probably how he does it, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're that, when you're super tall like he is, it's probably a difficult thing to, well, look at him, too.
Yeah, and then.
So, by the way, based on Rob's content earlier in the week, he has a high pain threshold.
He does. And only about 40 hairs on his head.
And an insatiable sexual appetite. All this on redheads that Rob had earlier in the week was one of my favorite lists that we have ever had. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's as Hollywood gets. And for me, it was interesting. So I started researching. They went to a Mexican restaurant. They went to Clyde's in Georgetown. I could have just walked around and seen somebody.
You could have walked down past your house.
Yeah.
There were so many celebrities in town for this.
So the multiples were you just saw one,
Drew
right?
Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a bourbon steak place in the Four Seasons. Chris Rock was there. Every big dog, everybody, the cast of, what is it? A Fatherhood, not Brotherhood. What's the Fatherhood? Whatever. Grown-ups.
Grown-ups.
The cast of Grown-ups was in town.
Yeah. So, what happened, Mike? It was Sandler got the Mark Twain Award.
Thank you.
Okay. And the only actual sighting, though, was O'Brien.
Yeah.
Right? That was it.
Yeah.
But there were tons of celebrities.
You should have gone out and said, Conan, I know your nephew Dan.
No.
Well, when you get off that plane, ready for Southwest Florida.
Ball players, celebrities. Right? It's got to be ball players around. Ball players.
They're ball players around, but they're all like,
how about
sequestered.
Older celebrities like Freddie Roman.
Freddie Roman.
The late Freddie Roman, for kids.
Warner Wolf.
Mike.
Sean Hannity. Life is good. Let's take
great.
A break.
Yes, do. Yeah. Let's.
Spelling test when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show. I'm really trying to think of.
I'll look it up. It's got to be Southwest Florida celebrities.
When you talk, you know the joke at country clubs down here, you know, what do you call a hot guy or a hot girl at such and such country club?
Hmm.
A guest. We'll be right back.
Robert Wood.
No, not quite.
I'm Robert Wood. I've got an amazingly large mouth.
Large mouth aside, that's still not quite it.
That poor man.
He's
all
the
best. He does is make
He's
promos
wonderful.
Promos.
I love the man. I'm making fun because He's I love. I kid guy. Because I love.
And I love you guys too, but you know, let's face
Two.
It, there's only one
Robert Wood.
Oh. And there's only one TMOS bonus show. Subscribe today. You'll be glad you did.
All right, Rob, yes. Got to put some more in the factory, buddy.
You got
time
it.
Time to stop. Time to start recycling. The recycling age, that's the first casualty, unfortunately.
He's gone.
Robert, I love you, but that's it.
I have a Thank list you. Of Southwest Florida celebrities when you're ready, Mike.
I am excited about that. First, let me tell you, if you need an afternoon reset, do yourself a favor for yourself, and snag 5 minutes for a dad grass toke
yes.
break.
Yes.
They've also got mom grass joints as the perfect pick-me-up to spark your creative flow, or the original dadgrass joints to quiet your mind after your 9-to-5. Dadgrass, legal, organic, smokable hemp. Was telling somebody about it yesterday. It relaxes your body and mellows your mind. They are 100% organic pre-rolled joints, very low in THC and high in CBD.
CBD.
So you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And if you want the toke without the smoke, they've got those CBD tinctures as well, made with the same high-quality hemp. It's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. And if you're not looking to toke, Dadgrass also offers what we just told you.
Yes.
It offers the finest tinctures.
Yes.
But they also have gummies. See, we told them that the tinctures.
You got to remind
that. And then again, we say tinctures again. That's incorrect. Sorry about that. All the mellow goodness, no smoke required with the gummies and the tinctures, and it'll leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Right now, Dadgrass offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. For 20% off your first order. Remember, man, that's dadgrass.com/TMOS. Okay, this came to me a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Okay.
Do you ever Google a word just to find out how to spell it? I do.
I'm not shy to do it. A lot of us do. For sure.
Someone looked at Google and the Google search stats to find the most common words we struggle to spell. So let me see if this is a list that's based on worst to first. I think it might be. Congratulations is number 10.
People confuse the T and the D.
Congratulations.
Congratulations and congratulations, maybe?
That must be. Yeah. We Google a lot, partially because we write it on Facebook so much. And it's also probably why people say congrats.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody say congrats, though. But
well,
if
that's
you're
good, Mike. That's good for when someone is leaving high school or college. You can say congratulations.
Did you ever say that?
Did you ever write that? Absolutely.
How's the crowd like that? Do they like that? Oh, they love it. It's too loud. I just dumped it. There you go. Love that. Next is is one I actually have time with, and I'm writing it constantly.
Yes.
Oh, congratulations to CONGRATULATIONS.
Okay.
The next one, number 9, diarrhea. Would either one of you like to spell diarrhea?
That's
yeah, I know there's an H in there.
I have an incredibly tough time with it. Always have.
Okay, let me
the
try.
The spelling
it's
or the
be
actual?
Terrible.
The spelling. Well, okay. I have it with that
it's
right
gonna be
now.
Terrible. I'll try it.
Okay, here goes Oscar.
Can I have some music?
Of course.
Like spelling bee music, please. Thank you. Diarrhea. Could you use it in a sentence, please?
I will not be coming to the show today because I have explosive diarrhea.
Okay. Diarrhea. D-I-E. Rhea. R-I-A. H.
Take you out of your misery
is
right now.
Is it D-I-A-H-R-E-A-H?
You are incorrect. Pony, you want to try it?
No.
Diarrhea is spelled D-I-A-R-R-H-E-A.
Oh, Kia, diarrhea.
Right. Okay, so another number. We move to number 8.
Okay.
Bougie. Like you bought the expensive champagne. Wow,
yes.
You're so bougie. Any takers? On
I
this
went
one?
First last time.
All right. B-O-U-G. I-E? No, that would be
correct.
Boogie.
That's
right.
You are right? Correct. I'm giving you that.
You're hip.
Wow.
Very smart. Good, Rob. You can spell. Nicely done. Next one, maintenance. We forget where the A's and E's go, and that's why we do that. Oscar Santana.
Maintenance.
Maintenance.
M-A-I-N-T-I. Maintenance. N-A-E-N-C-E-T-L-E-U.
Sorry, you were incorrect.
No.
No. Maintenance is M-A-I-N-T-E-N-A-N-C-E.
Yeah, close. Not as many I's as you thought. No, yeah.
Now, here's one at number six that surprises me.
All right.
Niece. Rob, you get the easy one.
That's easy.
N-E-I-C-E?
That's correct. People can't remember if it's an I-E or an E-I. Yeah. I before E, except after C.
Unless sounds like way, like neighbor and way.
What?
Unless it sounds like A, like neighbor or way. That's the second part of that.
I before E, except after C, unless it
sounds like A, as in neighbor and way.
The penitent man kneels before God.
I never knew that. Shut up. We're what? Doing
Can you spell penitent?
No. Number five, Oscar, is beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
Very commonly,
fine.
Beautiful.
Just look in a mirror and tell me what comes to
By
mind.
By the way, I write beautiful so often for posts. I like watching. That's the way I feel when something moves me, so I write that a lot. So I know this one. Would you like to try?
B-E-A-U-T-I-F-U-L. Beautiful.
Yes. Oscar, congratulations. Yes.
Do you
very
think
good.
Billy Bush would spell that right?
Hey, it's beautiful, guys. How you doing? I'm sitting in my gold bathtub, but things went astray. Thanks, Donald. Appreciate it.
All right. Rob Spiewak, receipt.
R-E-C-E-I-P-T.
Correct. That's why he did so well in school, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate, Oscar.
Appreciate.
That's number three.
A-P-P-R-I-E-A-T-E.
I'm sorry that is incorrect. Appreciate is people forget how many P's there are and whether there's a C or an S halfway through. A-P-P-R-E-C-I-A-T-E.
Who's putting an S in appreciate? C.
Well, you'd be, you know, listen, didn't we have the survey where we're getting dumber as a society?
Yes, we did. Okay,
come on.
Me.
All right, here's a tough one for you, Rob.
Uh-huh.
Something you've had multiple times, though. Pneumonia.
P-N-E-U-M-O-N-I-A.
That is absolutely correct.
And I wouldn't know that except for the French word for tire is pneu.
Ooh.
P-N-E-U. Yeah,
pneu.
Because it's inflatable
pneumonia.
Like a lung.
And in the last year, how many bouts with pneumonia?
Hey, Mike, it's one of the things I haven't checked off my list this year. Amazingly, but I get it all the time.
Yes.
Like a hangnail.
And you'd be amazed at number one, and we'll give it to Oscar to see if maybe there's any. These might not be in order of what are the most misspelled. Restaurant.
Restaurant. R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A-N-T-E.
Correct.
No,
I don't know what
he
that
ended
one.
With an E.
Did he say E? Oh, my God. You don't put an E on it.
Restaurant-y.
Restaurant-y.
You don't do that.
Do you have any word?
Restaurante.
Oh, he went back to his mother tongue. Do you have any word that throws you consistently? I have one.
It was on there. Diarrhea is one I never can spell.
License. I always get messed up with license. I think there's an S.
L-I-C-E-N-S-E.
But I always think there's an S at the front of it for some reason.
And call me dumb, but I have the same problem with bicycle.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I corrected that.
It's a
you know what I
art.
Did?
I went out in the backyard and I strapped myself to a tree during a lightning storm.
That'll fix
and
it,
henceforth,
Gordon.
I never mispronounced bicycle. I so conquered my fear.
You'll pardon the absence of light. A canard. A prevarication. Yeah.
All I know is that in the dark, you can't see in it.
Yes, Mr. Hobbs. I thought we had an agreement.
I don't know what I'm doing here. We have to take a break.
Yes.
When we come back, it's the flip side with Mr. Rob Spiewak. Then we finish the show. Rob and Oscar and Shannon get on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
I go get my teeth cleaned.
Yay!
Get my fat shot. And then I might buy a rodent to pick you up at the airport.
Yay.
Sure. It's going to be a very, very exciting day down here. It's going to be 100 degrees.
Hey,
we'll be right back. Everybody.
Can you kill your music, Mike?
Oh, my music. Yeah. Sorry, Rob.
Not at all.
It's a celebration of the Irish and the Irish and all of us on the latest bonus show.
Redhead.
Dated. updated. Mm. The password is new. New, shiny, and new. And I'm here to help.
Okay.
I am here to help, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This time, we'd like to tell you about a fine sponsor called KiwiCo. KiwiCo is defining the future of play by making it engaging, enriching, and seriously fun. They create super cool hands-on projects designed to create a lifelong love for learning among kids. Each month, KiwiCo delivers crates packed with fun and sparks creativity with kid-friendly topics and activities. From engineering robots to learning about the science of cooking, there are interesting topics for every kid and real hands-on skills to explore. Discover subscription lines for infants and preschoolers to teens and beyond. The moment of pride and accomplishment at the end of a KiwiCo project sparks creative confidence for ongoing experimentation. KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together. Plus, there's no commitment. Pause or cancel anytime. Redefine learning with play. Explore hands-on projects that build creative confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/TMOS. That's 50% off your first month at kiwico.com/TMOS.
Hello.
Whenever I hear something like this, I always think of our buddy Oscar. Now, first of all, it's kind of mind-blowing that the Nirvana album Nevermind is 30 years old.
Yes.
That's really kind of hard to wrap your head around. But someone took all the sounds from Super Mario 64 and made Smells Like Teen Spirit, and it sounds like this.
You know, when a melody when a melody is a melody, right? That's that falls into that category.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes I'm, you know what this makes me think? This makes me realize how enduring and perfect when you get that right melody,
yep,
it doesn't matter. I mean, it's stunning to me how great that melody really is. And it's so simple, right?
A great song can survive different genres, different artists. Yeah.
That's awesome. Really cool.
I love it.
Meanwhile, you think you're having a bad day. Let's say you're the gentleman in Seattle who got kidnapped, tied up with ropes, and thrown in the trunk of a car. That's pretty bad there, right there. But when the people that are kidnapping you drive the car into a house and crash it, allowing you to get out of the car still bound up, I guess, is that better or is it worse?
I only wonder, was it getting out because they popped the trunk, or was it getting out because he blasted through the back seat?
I think the trunk popped because of the accident. But anyway, we hear it now from the homeowners.
Not a fun way to wake up. A screeching noise, and then just the most sickening crunch. I got my kids to get shoes and coats on and get out of the house and get the dog.
There was a gentleman that was sitting outside kind of by the truck of his car, and he was all tied up with rope, and he was screaming, "Help me, help me, I've just been kidnapped, call 911.
Can you imagine that?
Did they have any more detail as to why he was? I mean, was this a mafia thing? What was going on?
It didn't appear to be a mob thing, but it's just a guy was in a trunk and he wouldn't have gotten out except for the car hit a house.
Like a Jackass bit.
Almost, yeah.
You know, our brains work in opposite direction. I'm thinking, I see a guy tied up that fell out of the car. I'm thinking, he's involved with some hinky business of some kind. Why else would he be in that situation? That they're I don't think it's just a rando. There was a reason the guy got picked up.
The thing that I found peculiar is no mention of the drivers of the car. They got out of there.
Yeah, unless it
sounds like local TV reporting.
It's Steve-O or Johnny Knoxville.
John Knoxville.
Then Ryan Oscar immediately wants to make it into a reality show, you know? Stay tied up and then take a poop in that fake toilet. Yeah, all right.
All right, Mike. A TikTok trend for heavy people. I'm curious your take on this. I have one. It's called Pickle in a Blanket. Have you heard of this trend?
And it's for fat people?
People are calling it a guilty food pleasure.
You're going to take a slice of cheese. I got provolone. I suggest provolone or mozzarella. Put it on your pan.
So it's starting to get nice and melty and it's sizzling. Take a pickle and just plop it in the middle of the slice of cheese, all right?
So now the cheese has gotten a little golden and a little bit hard, like a crust almost. I'm going to like fold it over and make
She's
wrap
smart.
It on the pickle.
Yes.
You a little taquito.
There you have it. So beautiful. So good.
You know that crunch? I don't care if anyone says
Did you watch the video?
I did.
Does the cheese turn into like a cheese crisp? Is that the way she does
it? You fry the cheese just the way I like
Yeah, we,
it.
He's doing Jack Kent Cook that
yeah.
used to take
yeah,
our
but
friend
absolutely.
Tommy Giacomo.
Absolutely.
So what's your, being a legendary fat guy, what's your verdict on that?
I say thumbs up.
Ooh,
it sounds good.
Because I like the idea of a crunchy piece of cheese, yeah.
But the thing I don't like is the, I like my pickle to be crunchy too.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean?
You'd have to almost let the cheese cool a little bit.
Right.
To put the pickle in. But then it's also, you know what? Got to be a good pickle. I'm not going to half-ass it on
Look
the
Look at
pickle.
Oscar laughing at us. As we
you guys are like surgeons.
The strategy?
That's what we care about.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, for example, I like a toasted bagel, but not a hot toasted bagel because it makes your cream cheese runny. So you have to toast the bagel and let it cool.
I didn't know that.
This is true, Mike. Bono and The Edge are everywhere because they're promoting a special they did with David Letterman. Also, they've re-recorded all their music. And I don't know about you. I'm kind of done with U2.
Blasphemy. Come on now.
They still have the hits.
But they did a live little event where they covered the
Live
Abbas-
little event. He wouldn't say that about Paul McCartney.
No.
I would.
He would never use diminishing terminology.
Intimate.
Hey, did you see that? Yeah, U2's coming to FedEx Field to do their little concert.
Mike, this was a little concert, though. This had a small audience. It was not a desk concert, but it was about that size. Yeah. They had strings brought in and orchestral or instruments. They covered ABBA's SOS. And you know what? I won't diminish this because I like this.
The love you gave me, nothing else can save me. SOS.
Such a Bono version of SOS.
When you're gone, how can I even try to go on?
Hey, Bono, turn up the strings.
No, but you have to hear Bono.
How can I?
Yeah. Oh, you don't like Bono. Are you a U2 hater? You are.
Not necessarily
a U2 hater.
I've seen them. I've twice seen them in concert. I
you
mean,
have,
I like,
you
have. Yeah. Yeah.
Forced.
But
did you pay for them or free
now?
Free?
I got the tickets. So I paid for those tickets.
Oh, okay.
But I think the problem with U2 started with them putting their album on your phone, or not you wanted it. Mm.
A lot of people agree with you on that.
And I think that it's kind of just assumed now you have to like them. And you know what? They made a lot of great music. I don't know that I can go see them in concert again.
I mean, you've done more than I've done. I don't go to concerts. Okay. But I mean, that's
Tim McGraw. Would you go to a Tim McGraw concert?
Tim McGraw? No.
How about Tug McGraw?
Tug McGraw, yes. If they dug him up and put, is Tug still with us? I'm not sure.
I think he might be. Pony, can Tug. You Google Tug McGraw? That's Tim's dad, right?
By the no, that's the nickname of the guy that went to all the Disneyland theme parks.
Tug.
His nickname is Tug.
And also great at the Ferris Wheel Challenge.
Yes, absolutely.
But
fantastic.
Tim McGraw was talking about the food rider he has when he does a concert. And there's something on here that surprised me.
I like peanut M&Ms. And I like those Mexican Cokes that come in the bottle. Love those things. And then probably some tuna sandwich and Muscle Milk. There's still stuff on there that shows up that I don't never touch. Just haven't updated the rider.
If you had a food
you know,
rider.
Seriously, can I tell you about Tim McGraw? You know what Tim McGraw is eating for lunch? He's eating a piece of lettuce. Have you seen that guy?
He's very
that
thin.
Guy,
always has his
that
shirt
guy,
tucked in.
Absolutely. Always has his shirt tucked in. He's unquestionably one of the fittest performers in music today.
But
he really is. That guy.
Would you ever have on your rider a tuna fish sandwich? Because you know it's not being properly stored.
I don't think he does. Smell I think he probably is making that up.
Every man.
Every
like,
man
is a guy, I guess every man eats tuna.
And yeah. The muscle milk?
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yes.
But he does that. The muscle milk.
Not the Mexican Cokes?
Not the
no,
Mexican.
No,
no,
no.
He's not going to take that sugar.
All right.
No
very good. Mike, in any of your weddings, did you smash wedding cake into Carla's face? Or any of your bride's face.
You mean when the third time I married her?
Yes. No, I misphrased that. Forgive me. In any of your weddings.
In all of your three marriages to Carla, did you ever take the cake?
No. Was there a cake smash either way, bride to groom or groom to bride in any of your marriages?
I'll go backwards.
Okay.
I'll go back to front. No. Don't remember.
Okay. Oscar, was there a cake smash at your wedding?
Yes. And it was, but it was thoughtful. It wasn't crazy.
Okay. We purposely did not do it. But.
Oh, one of the weddings I did silly string. I don't know. No, I'm just making that up.
Why didn't you do it?
Carrie came at me with a metal pipe.
No.
Yeah. No. We just thought it's disrespectful and we found out what it is symbolic of.
No, I didn't know.
Which is actually providing for your spouse. And
oh,
it's
that's
not
sweet.
Something you don't want to
watch. Your wife actually texted me. You brought her up.
Oh, really? What'd
she
say?
Here he goes. Carrie Spiewak, right before the show.
Uh-huh.
Make sure Rob brushes his teeth while he's in Florida. He thinks insurance makes everything free.
I love her.
There you go. She really sent that to
you? Yes. Yeah,
I don't doubt
it. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
But a wedding photographer says she's photographed a lot of weddings and that the wedding cake smash actually kind of is a indicator of how successful the marriage is going to be.
I photographed about 200 weddings. I think I've only seen about 3 instances of having the groom smash cake in the bride's face. And the very first one that I saw that, the bride got cake all in her eye, basically ruined her makeup. She ran off crying. I didn't see her for like 45 minutes and they are now divorced. So yeah, I think it's probably not the best idea to shove cake in each other's faces unless you agree upon that beforehand.
It's an awfully expensive piece of pastry to waste like that.
Is that the wedding planner? That's the wedding photographer.
The
wedding photographer. I'd like to call her in and go, you're fired. Just on general principle. You know what I mean?
She was excited about the divorce. Yeah.
She was totally jacked about the divorce after she got paid by that couple.
You know
what?
Because that means 2 more weddings for her to photograph.
She's so great.
All right, let's close with this. A guy that I think is pretty universally loved, and I know we're all fans, Bob Odenkirk.
Yes.
I did not know this. I knew he wrote on Saturday Night Live, but did you know he's responsible for one of the greatest sketches of all time?
Really? Oh, boy, this is exciting.
Most people may not know that you wrote the Chris Farley motivational speaker sketch SNL.
And I live in a van down by the river.
My daughter once asked me, what's the most fun you ever had in showbiz? And to this day, it remains Chris Farley, motivational speaker on stage at Second City. I played the dad, and we did that 7 shows a week for 2 months. I went home one night, and I wrote that very sketch just the way you see it, pretty much exactly the same way. And I brought it into Chris, and we just tore it up on stage at Second City. And then it came on SNL about a year later.
How can we get back on the right track?
Chris wouldn't stop until he made everyone crack up.
Yeah, right. And they do on the SNL sketch. You can see David Spade absolutely losing it to the point.
It was pure awesomeness every night.
So just when you think there's not another thing to love Bob Odenkirk about, there's that.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine seeing that at SC? I mean, really, being in the audience in Chicago and seeing that live,
that
would be joy. I mean, that's great. And what a great answer makes me love Bob Odenkirk more.
Yeah, Mike, that's all I got for you today.
I'm going to come see you
today if that's okay.
That is wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to meet you guys at the airport. Still, Michael was asked right before he left for school to come up with a sign idea. I haven't come up with it yet, so you'll be surprised when you see it. Our thanks to Talking Head Frank DiGiacomo, serving his country on nuclear submarines. You're a good man. One of the better Talking Head segments we've ever had. Thank you very much, Frank. I'll see you guys on Monday with a brand new episode. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
How did you know all that?
Because I made a podcast.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.